Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we want you to have a blessed Saturday today. And we're in our series on Romans chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 26 and 27. But before that, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we learn how to pray today, as we look at how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, we pray that your word will be real and true to us, that we will learn a lot, that we will be blessed, that we will be strengthened, and that your grace will be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's verse is Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here we're talking about the Holy Spirit helping us in our hopeless, our deserted, our struggling condition. We know the people in Rome were going through terrible persecutions and being thrown to lions. And they didn't know how to pray in the midst of their tormented situation. Their minds were confused. They were burdened. They were stressed. They were being dragged off to prison and to jail. They were being beaten and whipped and humiliated in every way possible. Their world was falling apart simply because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was unfair, it was brutal, but no matter what happened to them, nothing could separate them from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing could separate them from the Holy Spirit who was going to intercede for them before the throne. And today we're going to look about how to pray in the midst of a crisis. How should we pray when everything is going wrong? And one of the things we're going to look at there is how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we go to Hebrews chapter 5, and in verse 7, it says this: In the days of his flesh, that's Jesus' flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. So here's Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's being pressured by the devil and by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, by his own impending realization of the cross. This was a crisis, a spiritual crisis, right down to the depths of his soul. And he cried out to God with loud cries and tears. And of course, the Holy Spirit helped him to pray. In other parts of the Bible, it said that great drops of blood fell to the ground as he was praying. And he was sweating. He was at a point of such great stress that he was sweating, and he was sweating blood coming out of the pores of his body. The pressure was so great. And with loud cries and tears, he made his prayers and supplications known to God. And this is emotional prayer. And we find that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray with groanings too deep for words, straight from the center of our being, from that place where we're crying out to God. And I remember the first time I did that as a child. I went home from playing cricket in Australia to find my wife, to find my mother, had had a cerebral hemorrhage. She had had a cerebral hemorrhage and she was unconscious. And my brother and I had to phone the ambulance because my father was at work. And the ambulance came and they said it was serious, and that my mother might pass away. And she was still unconscious, and they carted her off. And I put a pillow under my knees, even though I was very much just a child and knew nothing of God. And I prayed and I prayed, and the relatives came and went, and I prayed and I prayed. I probably prayed for 5 or 6 hours just to God for my mother to be saved from that cerebral hemorrhage. And it was a terrible time. And 10 days later, my mother woke up from the coma, and she was fine, though she was fairly weak for years. But people say she should have died from that coma. But as a child, I put that pillow under my knees and no one could move me. My father, my brothers, the various relatives that came and went couldn't move me. I was determined to pray to God until my mother was healthy. And I believe there was some breakthrough there. And I was weeping and I was wailing as a 12-year-old child. And that's the way that we should pray. That's the way that we should cast ourselves on God with utmost intensity. And it is the thing that we come to in those points of life when our children are sick or our spouses are unwell, and as we go through life with all its traumas and parents pass away and things happen, we need to go to God as people who suffer stress. That's life. That's what we are as human beings. We live and we die and we go through times of great anguish. And we need to know how to pray to God. And we shouldn't pray little simple little prayers that sound like they're from some salesman. We're not talking to God. We're not making a pitch to God. We're not doing some two-minute pitch to heaven for God to twist his arm and to get him to do things. God wants to hear us. He wants to hear our spirit speaking to his spirit. He wants the depths of our being speaking to the depths of his being. And God heard me as a small child. I quickly forgot about it and went on to be a stupid teenager and only got born again at the age of 21. But God hears our prayers. And God wants you to pray emotionally. David in the Psalms prays emotionally. Hannah wanting a child prays emotionally. Blind Bartimaeus wanting healing for his eyes cries out loudly. Everyone thought he was a pest. He was so noisy. But Jesus healed his eyes. And you have to go to God with your whole being and press in and pray the same thing over and over. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus keeps saying the same thing. He keeps casting his thing on God, please take this cup away from me. He asked that three times. And then he says, but not my will, but yours be done. And that is where we have to come to. The Holy Spirit gives us words. He gives us that phrase. He illumines things in our heart. So we can cry out to God. Cry out to God about your marriage. Cry out, shed tears, weep and wail. Go into a bedroom somewhere where no one can hear you or know that you're having a bit of a breakdown before the Lord. And then let God have it. Let him know that everything in you is broken and hurting. And come to God and say, I need this changed. It's when you get to that point, when you're praying as if your life depends on it, which it does, when you throw your entire heart and mind on God and tell your God about your boss, your family, your marriage, your finances, your health, all the things that threaten you at the core of your being, your sin even, come to God and cry out for salvation from the sin that besets you. Cry out to God that you want to be done with drugs, that you want to be done with fornication, that you want to be done with alcohol and boozing around and partying and being stupid. Cry out to God and say, I want this done. I want this fixed right now. But if you pity party around, if you just sit around and complain to God, oh God, I don't like this. Oh God, I don't like that. Can you do something for me? God, that's not the Holy Spirit praying. The Holy Spirit is spirit. He's fire. He's the hammer that breaks the rock. And you've got to pray in the spirit. You've got to pray like you're a real man or a real woman or a real child crying out to God. And just put your whole self in that prayer and say, Holy Spirit, help me pray. Help me to pray with groanings too deep for words. Help me to get into this prayer and shake heaven. I'm sure Hannah crying out for a child, crying out because a rival was persecuting her and humiliating her. And she felt so unworthy, so shattered, so broken. And she comes before God at the end of her rope. And even then, the guy Eli, who was useless high priest, says, are you drunk, woman? And he's no comfort at all. He says, no, I'm pouring out my soul to God. And then he's ashamed. And he says, oh, well, may the Lord answer your prayer. And he goes back because he realized that he'd been listening to a woman who was in an extreme. And when a mother is praying for a child, she prays with every ounce of her being. And that is the sort of thing we need. We need praying mothers and we need praying fathers. And we need people who are not going to be insipid in prayer, but who are going to have spiritual energy and spiritual emotion. Let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is not dull. The Spirit of Christ is not apathetic. The Spirit of Christ is not weak and lame. The Spirit of Christ is not like some parson from a movie. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit that created the entire universe, who has the Word of God and for whom all things were made. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prayer and is the Spirit of prophecy and is the Spirit of fire and thunder. And that's the way we should pray. We should pray with fire and thunder. And the Spirit of Christ is not the spirit of the stiff upper lip, of stoicism, of pretending it doesn't matter, of trying to be tough. Jesus himself would cry out to God with tears, with supplications. He got in there and he really prayed. He groaned. He had compassion. He wept over the sheep without a shepherd. And that's what you need to do. You need to pray about the lost members of your family, not with a little lip service here and there, but as if it really matters, because it does matter. And you need to cry out to God with your whole being and put yourself into that prayer. Use any words you like. Use anything you like. You don't have to use some simple little formula that you learned from some TV preacher. Be natural. Say to God what's wrong and what you want done, and then accept the will of God in the end. That's what Jesus did. He made it very clear to God three times what he wanted, that this cup would pass away from him. In the end, it says, Hebrews 5:7, it says he was heard because of his piety. He was heard because his whole heart was thrown out on God. He was dependent on God. He wasn't depending on man. He wasn't taking any shortcuts. He was consecrated to God. And when you're consecrated to God, you're fully thrown on God, then the Holy Spirit turns up and helps you pray. And it says here, and he who searches the hearts, God is searching your heart. He wants to hear the prayer of your heart, not just the prayer of your lips, and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus is interceding for you. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. The whole Godhead wants you to succeed. But you've got to get in contact with God. You can't just be flippant with God. You can't just throw off tiny little prayers. You can't be cold-hearted. You've got to be warm-hearted. You've got to groan. You've got to pray. You've got to throw yourselves on the Lord God Almighty and get out of this lazy praying that so many Christians do. Don't be lazy. You are weak in prayer. Everyone is weak in prayer. We can't pray well with our own minds. We can't pray well with just our own emotions. We've got to dig down into our spirit, the deepest part of our beings, and ask the Holy Spirit to help our spirit to speak words to God. And sometimes you might have to use the gift of tongues. I believe in the gift of tongues. It's edifying. It helps. It will strengthen you in your prayer life. It will give you tremendous energy as you pray. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the gift of tongues, cry out to God and ask him for it. Don't be tame. God wants you to be able to pray to him with fervency and with power. And sometimes using words that aren't in English or Spanish or whatever you speak, but are words that are from heaven, with groanings too deep for words, where you place all your troubles, all your woes, all the things you want from God before God. And don't think that you just have to say something once, or that's a contravention of this or contravention. No, we're not to be like the pagans. Sure, we're not to have prayer wheels and things like that. But go to God until it clicks. Keep on pressing. Be like the persistent widow who goes to the unjust judge. Be like the person who keeps knocking at the door of their friend until they can get three loaves of bread. God wants you to pray with intensity, to pray with emotion, to pray from the depths of your being. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will turn up and help you to pray, and you will be answered, and you will get the thing that you have desired, or even something better from God. God loves you. This is John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship signing off. God bless, and may you have a wonderful life in Christ. Amen.